Well, it is good to see you. If you didn't hear me a while ago, it's good to see you. And those of you who are on Zoom, it's good to see you. And glad you could join us today. It's good to have our visitors, Alan and Betty. Good to have you this morning. Joanne, good to have you this morning. There was a couple of more. Where'd they go? Oh, they're hiding back there. Steve and Laura. Good to have you this morning. I'm thinking, I know there was two more and I couldn't find you. You're behind the Waldrons and they're kind of take up a lot of area. So good to have you this morning. Chuck, good to have you this morning. Glad you could join us today. Lord, we're here this morning to hear from you. Not from me. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would do what you need to do in each of our lives, myself included. And God, I get to hear this message two or three times. And so, Lord, I pray that it would just be emblazoned upon our hearts. And Lord, we would be able to go away from here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Again, Lord, we can't praise you enough for the things that you've done for us. We can't thank you enough for the way that you take care of us. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're talking about, since the beginning of the year, we've been talking about walking in the blessings of God. And I don't know, I thought I had two services and two sermons on that, but now there's three or maybe four. I don't know. We'll see where the Lord takes us with this. But anyway, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how unity, harmony, allows people to experience the blessings of God. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 133, it says, to those brothers who live in unity, the Lord has commanded his blessings, even, do you remember what? Life forevermore. Even life forevermore. So even in a home, when there's unity, but there has to be unity not just with the people in the home, but also with the Lord. It's not just this way, it's this way as well. And so when it's that in a congregation or in a family, God says, I'm going to give life to that individual. I'm going to give life to that family. I'm going to give a life to my church body because they have unity one with another. And so I know that we're experiencing life here because we have unity, we have harmony. And if let me just say this, the enemy would love to destroy that any way he can. So if someone comes to you and starts talking about somebody else in the church, just say, come on, I need you to come and talk to them. And that'll kind of, what we might ought to do is start praying for them. And that's what I do when people come to me and start talking. I say, well, let's just pray for them right now. Do we need to go talk to them? And so just encourage you, keep the harmony. We need to fight for that because the enemy's going to do everything he can. We need to guard it. The second thing we talked about last week is we need to walk in obedience in order to receive God's blessings. We can't be like the Israelites and walk in disobedience and expect God to bless us. So today, Father wants us to focus on Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. And he wants us to understand how to live our lives in order to receive his blessings. Stand one more time for the reading of God's word. Yes, aerobics. All right. So listen. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You may be seated. For the moment. Blessed. That word blessed means happy. Happiness. Blessedness. How many of you like to want to live a blessed life? How many of you want to live a happy life? The NLT states it this way. Oh, the joys of those who do not participate in these things. Oh, the joys. And see, the joy only comes from the Lord. Peace and happiness only comes from the Lord. Now, we can get a temporary fulfillment to fulfill the flesh. And that's what some of these people in the that he's talking about here in verse 1. Do they fulfill the desires of the flesh, but it's only temporary and it's really ugly. But if you want the blessings of the Lord, then Scripture says we need to stay away from some things and we need to give our life to some things. So let's begin with what are some things that we need to stay away from. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. But we're just going to take it phrase by phrase. I may not finish today. And God said, that's okay. So, let me ask you a question. When you need counsel, where do you go? Well, good answer. Yeah, it is a good answer. So, I wasn't expecting that. And the next question was going to be, where you go for counseling, is it godly or ungodly? Hopefully, it's godly counsel. But there are some people who go to counsel that's not godly, right? And we have counselors in our school. Do you think they always give godly counsel? Again, every time I think of that, it just grieves my heart. What's taking place in our schools with our children? Does the Tillamook Counseling Center always give godly counsel? They give counsel. But here's the thing we need to understand, that God, we are made up of mind, body, soul, which includes the emotions, and spirit. People who don't know Christ don't know how to minister to the spirit. They can perhaps help with the mind. They can perhaps help with the emotions. But in my experience, it has been when you address the issues of the heart, the issues of the spirit, oftentimes it affects positively the body, the mind, and the emotions. I think it needs to be a holistic approach, not just one or the other. And it's not just the spirit. I mean, we have Dr. Brown is in here and he affects, he works with the bodies. You know, he helps with the body, helps with those things. And that's important. We need doctors. We need counselors. We need people who help us emotionally and mentally and physically. We need all those things. But do not leave the spiritual out of it. Don't leave the spiritual out of it, because the wounds of the spirit can cause afflictions physically, mentally, and emotionally as well. Now, godly counsel affects the spirit, right? Did you know that ungodly counsel affects the spirit as well? Sure does. It causes damage to the spirit. And so what he's saying is when you go for counseling, you better find someone who's going to minister to you, and to your spirit, and to help you overcome some things in your life and help you bring some healing to the wounds. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted. Did you know that I can't do healing? Did you know that? Did you know that the counselors at the Tillamook Counseling Center can't do healing? No one in Portland can do healing. Only Jesus can bring the healing. Dr. Brown can't bring healing. All he can do is stitch something up. But God has to do the healing, right? God has to do the healing. If God doesn't do the healing, then there's no healing that takes place in our life, because he's the healer. He's the healer. And you can take all kind of medications and injections and everything else you want to for healing, but God does the healing. If God doesn't say be healed, you're not going to be healed. I don't care how much stuff you put in your body. So, listen, when you seek counsel, you need to find someone who knows God's word, who's connected with the Lord, and who can minister to you spiritually as well as these other ways that you need ministering to. So, regarding this counseling, the friends that you confide in and seek counsel from, are they seeking after God? Do they have a good working knowledge of God's word? Or do they just tell you what you want to hear? What kind of friends do you hang with? Are they concerned with your spiritual well-being? Are they willing to tell you the hard truths or just pacify you? What kind of friends do you have? Honestly, I don't like it when my wife tells me I'm wrong. Okay? I don't like it. I don't think there's a man here that likes that. But the truth is, we need to hear those things, because there are some things that perhaps they see in you. Did you know we all have blind spots? And they're called blind spots because we can't see them, but everybody else can. And so we all have blind spots in our life, and it's good. Our wives, our husbands can see things in us that we can't see ourselves. And so we need to listen to our spouses and hear what they have to say and check. You know, don't just like resist all of a sudden. Brah, no, don't tell me that. I don't like to hear it. I don't get upset, aggravated, frustrated, mean, mad, or irritated. Listen, check it. Because if you've got a godly spouse, they're looking out for your interest. And they may speak truth, but the truth often hurts. We don't have to like it, but we need to listen to it. Amen? Okay. It says, blessed is the man or woman who does not stand in the path of sinners. So who do you hang with? Who are your friends? Who do you spend the most amount of time with visiting on the phone? Chatting with? Who do you have on your friend list on social media? What topics of conversation do you find yourself engaged in? Is it judgmental? Sharing dirty jokes or pictures. I didn't know what sexting was until I heard a youth minister talking about things that take place in their youth group. We didn't have that when we had just phones that you hung on the wall. I mean, I like my cell phone. I like the ability to receive texts and messages and prayer concerns and all of that. I like it to be able to call my wife when I want to, or my daughter or my son. It's handy. It's good. It's nice. It's wonderful. It's a gift from God. However, we can take anything God gives us and pervert it. And that's what's taking place in a lot of the areas. And you know it. I don't have to talk to you about that. You know what's going on. But I pray that you're not a part of it. I pray that you're not, that when you speak, it's going to be edifying and godly encouraging to people rather than tearing them down, because you speak, when you speak, you're speaking to their spirit, not just their mind, not just their emotions, but you're speaking to their spirit as well. So whenever you, we can have good conversations about the weather. Al and I can talk about wood turning, and we can do a lot of different things. We can enjoy those things, our hobbies, and there's nothing wrong with that. But whenever you begin talking about things that are ungodly and unwholesome, unworthy to talk about, it affects a person's spirit, and you need to guard their heart as well as guard your own heart. Who do you hang with? Are they ministering to your spirit? Are they ministering to your spirit? Are they helping you grow in your walk with the Lord? What do you enjoy watching on TV? I'm meddling today, right? So, what do you enjoy watching on TV? Where do you get your news source? What do you pursue on websites? What books do you read? What preachers do you follow? Did you not know that all preachers are not God followers? So you need to be careful. Some are, rather than being God-centered, they're self-centered. You need to be careful. You need to be careful who you listen to. You need to be careful what you eat. You really need to be careful. And I'm not talking about physical food. So, because all of these things have a profound influence on our minds. What we talk about, what we see, what we think about, what we listen to, what our friends speak, will either allow us to walk in the blessings of the Lord or not. I've been reading through the Bible, as some of you have this year. And if you've read through already the book of Exodus and maybe Leviticus and Numbers, you're finding yourself looking at the Israelites and saying, man, won't you get a clue? Because time after time, they just keep walking away from the Lord. And God says, hey, give them a spanking. And they, that makes me mad. I'm going to do what I want to. I don't care what you say. You know, sometimes we get that attitude, but it's not going to bring a blessing to you. It's not going to bring a blessing to you, because Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 10 that God might spank you. And I don't like to be spanked by the Lord. And I have been before. Okay? He wants to bring blessings to you. Did you know that God wants to bring the blessings to you? That's His desire. He wants to pour out His blessings upon you. But oftentimes, the blessings come with a condition. If you follow me, I will pour out my blessings on you. I don't want to follow. Okay. Then don't receive the blessings. That's your choice, right? That's my choice. I can do what I want to, and I choose to follow the Lord because I like the blessings that come from that. Ungodly counsel, sinful behavior, and then he says, don't sit in the seat of the scornful, those who mock the things of God and those who mock others, don't have any association with them. Stay as far away from them as you possibly can, because you become like the ones you hang with, right? So then he says, blessed is the man who delights himself in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Let me ask you a question. Do you delight in the things of the Lord? Do you delight in following the mandates of Christ? And that's what he's talking about. He said, blessed are those who delight themselves in the law of the Lord. A lot of times people think, man, the law of the Lord is just rigid. And we're not talking about being religious. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is having a relationship with Jesus Christ to the point where He's able to speak to your spirit. You can follow His spirit. You can read His word and be able to understand His word to the point that you're able to follow Him. Because the more you follow Him, the more blessings that come. I guarantee you. Some of you have lived a life where you haven't followed the Lord, and you can give testimony like an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours of what it's like not to follow the Lord. And then when the Lord changed your heart, when you came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, things changed in your life. You became transformed, and then the blessing started to come. Listen, you receive blessing just because and virtue, because of the virtue that you're a child of God, you already have blessings. You already have blessings. But God wants to give you more but we can't experience them unless we're walking in His ways. Would you agree? Okay, I need you to talk to me a little more. All right. I just want to make sure you're still with me. Okay, still with me. So, listen, and if you're a child of God and you say, man, you know what? The Bible's just hard for me. I don't really get it. I don't really find you a translation that maybe not the King James. Okay. Or maybe I like the New King James, but that might be not your deal. Maybe you need a New Living Translation or some other translation that's more applicable to your, and you understand it better. That's okay. That's okay. But find, but I also pray for it. Lord, I really don't like to be in your word. I don't understand why I should like it. So God, would you allow me to have joy when I get in your word? So start praying for it. Start praying for it. Lord, I don't really like to pray. I don't feel your presence. I don't know. Lord, would you give me a desire to pray? Did you know that that's a pleasing prayer to God? And that He will answer those kind of prayers because He says, I will answer the prayers that are prayed according to my will. Do you believe that's God's will, that you enjoy praying? Do you think He will answer that prayer? Do you think it's God's will that you enjoyed reading His word? Okay, so you have not because you. So, if the things are in here and you're not really... Did you know that fellowshipping with other Christians is a part of that? Well, I just don't like Christians. We're not starting a discussion, but I'm just saying this not for you to respond, okay? But help me understand why prior to COVID we had more people coming to church than we do now. And people are staying home. They would rather stay home and watch a preacher on television than be a part of the body of Christ. Fear is possibly a good part of that. That's one of the things, I'm sure. Others just be lazy, maybe. I don't know. Or they just don't like Christians. But here Scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I don't think He's talking about watching TV to make that happen. There's something that happens in a group of people dedicated to Jesus Christ that is a whole lot more powerful and more dynamic than sitting home and watching somebody on TV. Now, I have watched some good preachers on TV, and I've taken some good notes, but their spirit's not there. There's something about joining together, praising the Lord, worshiping the Lord, that allows us to connect with not only with Him, but with one another. This morning as we were singing some of these songs, it's just powerful. And I could feel the connection. It made me start crying. It's just so sweet, so sweet, so sweet. Delight yourselves in the things of the Lord. I don't like Christians. Pray for it. There may be a heart issue. There may be a spiritual issue we need to address if that is where you are. Goes on to say, blessed are those who meditate in the law of the Lord. Meditate day and night. So listen, the way you start your day has a profound effect on the way your day goes. It really does. If you start your day with the Lord, it kind of you're able to kind of keep that connection all day long. And you check in every now and then, Lord, you know, talk to him and throw something off of him and throw something up to him. And it's a whole lot better than trying to make it through your day without him a part of it. And so meditate on him, meditate on his passages, on the passages that he's given to you throughout the day. As we were at the Pastor's Prayer Summit a couple of weeks ago, there were a dozen or so lead pastors, and we get in a group and others get in another group. Some were Lincoln County, some were Clatsop County, and then some were from Tillamook County. At one session, we were instructed to wait on the Lord. And the pastor that was sitting next to me kind of leaned over and shared a passage of scripture that he said the Lord had dropped in his heart, and it was asking me if I thought it was a word for his situation. And the scripture was Isaiah 44, 3 through 5. And it says, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, 'I am the Lord's.' Another one will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, 'The Lord's,' and the name himself by the name of Israel." He said, "I just felt like God was dropping that into my heart, but it's Old Testament, and I don't know if that applies to me today." And the issue is this: he has some children that are going astray. They're prodigals. And daily he weeps for them. Daily he calls out to the Lord for them. Daily he's crying out for God to intervene in their life. And then the Lord drops this passage in his heart: "I will pour out my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." Isn't that a promise? It's a promise for us now, not just for Jacob. Did you know that you're a child of Abraham by virtue that you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And this promise is for you too. And perhaps you have some children that are going astray, and perhaps you're not sure what to do, and you've been crying out to God. I want you to understand this. This promise is for you as well. You take these passages, you take these nuggets, and you just talk to the Lord about them every day. You know, God, sometimes God will drop a nugget in your heart, and you can take it before him, you meditate on it, and you just continue to connect with him regarding these things that he's spoken in his word, and let him fill you, even when things look desperate, even things look dry and wilted and not going anywhere. You just keep talking to him about it, and life will come. Life will come. Life will come. Life will come. It may be 10 years, it may be 20 years, it may be 30 years, it may be after you're dead and gone, but life is going to come because Jesus said it's going to come. And you can praise him and you can thank him. And I told this pastor, I said, "Listen, this is a promise from God. This is a rhema word for you. And you need to just start thanking God that he's already answered this prayer in your life." Oh, man, God is so good. Isn't that a blessing? Wasn't that a blessing for him to receive that from the Lord? But did you know that he would probably have never received that if he didn't know God's word? Right? And he said the only things that came to mind was that passage that talks about dry and wasted. And so he had to look that passage up, and then he read the rest of the sermon. Woo! Man. How good is God? How good is God?
Time gone by. I am doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it?
Woo-hoo! Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Read that again. Not everybody on. Not the thousands watching on YouTube hearing that.
Isaiah 43:18. Stop dwelling on past events and brooding over times gone by. I am doing something new. It's springing up. Can't you see it?
I am making a road in the desert, rivers in the wasteland.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeannie. Don't give up. Don't quit. You have his ear. Hang on. Because God's doing something in your life. Scripture says in verse 4, the ungodly are not sober, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. What is chaff? So there's a picture. I think. All right, there's a chaff. So this lady's winnowing. It's called winnowing. When what happens is they throw this wheat up in the air and the chaff blows away. And so it's the ungodly is like the chaff. And they have no direction. It's dead stuff. Have no direction. Wherever the current takes them, wherever the wind takes them, no forethought to the future. And they're dead. He said, the ungodly are like the chaff which the wind drives away. And they live for the present. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you might die. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, sinners in the congregation, the righteous. This passage of Scripture has always kind of bothered me. Because it says the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, and according to Revelation chapter 21, everybody stands in the judgment, right? So me and the Lord was talking about this, and this is what I understand. There are three judgments that they will not stand in. The first one is they will not judge themselves. They refuse to look inward and see their own sinfulness. And Jesus encourages us to judge ourselves so that we won't be judged. Paul says that we need to judge ourselves, especially before the Lord's Supper, and we'll get to that passage here in a minute. The problem is that the wicked judges others, but they don't judge themselves. The problem is that they stand in judgment over other people, even over Christians, but they refuse to judge their own heart. Even knowing that they've sinned, they would rather blame someone else, justify their actions, or deny they did it than to own it and repent. To the one who is willing to forgive, they refuse to judge themselves. Now, we as Christians should judge ourselves, right? Every morning we should wake up and say, God, check my heart. David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. And that's the prayer we ought to pray. Lord, check my heart. In the evening before you go to bed, throughout the I have to kind of do it throughout the day. Oh, Lord, I blew it again. Would you forgive me? Yeah, I don't wait till night. Because I like the peace and joy of the Lord. I like the blessings of the Lord. I like to walk in the blessings of the Lord. And when I talk about the blessings of the Lord, I'm not talking, a lot of time people think of finances when they think of blessings. That's not what I'm talking about. Now, God may bless you with that. And he will, but that's not what I'm talking about. The blessings of the Lord, Scripture says, the kingdom of heaven is not eat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What greater blessings are there than that? Right? I mean, you can have all the money in the world and be miserable. I can't recall names, but you know, I read where this millionaire, billionaire, he kills himself or she kills herself because they're miserable. They have it all. But did you know having it all won't make you happy? Did you know that having it all is not a blessing necessarily? Did you know that having it all doesn't give you joy? Did you know that having it all doesn't make you blessed? They shall not stand in the judgment there. They refuse to judge themselves. We recognize that When we sin, because the Holy Spirit convicts us, and if as we grow in the Lord, we're ready for His conviction. We want His conviction. We desire His conviction because we don't want to stay where we are. In 2 Corinthians 11, I'm just going to read verse 31. For if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Another judgment they will not be at is at the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans 14, 10, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's in Romans chapter 14, verse 10. And as you well know, Romans, the church at Rome, Paul wrote to the church, and so they're Christians here. We judge your brother. We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, again, a church at Corinth. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. That's kind of sobering, isn't it? We all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things we've done, whether good or bad. And he's talking about Christians. But Pastor, I thought all of our sons were gone. I thought Jesus died for our sins. Here's my thought. Here's my idea. Here's my, for what it's worth. We have a responsibility before the Lord to help the Lord in this sanctification process. Scripture says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What if you're not pure in heart? And did you know that God gave us this time on this earth in our life to work with the Holy Spirit for that cleansing process? I have a friend, you've met him, Clint Sams. He used to sing a song that goes like this. I think I wrote it down. One day Jesus will call my name. One day Jesus, it won't be the same. I want to get so close to him. There's no big change on the day that Jesus calls my name. Isn't that a precious song? Did I put that up here? I don't know. Anyway, let me sing it again because it's got a profound message. It says, one day Jesus will call my name. One day Jesus, I won't be the same. I want to get so close to him. There's no big change on the day that Jesus calls my name. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We are to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I think there's going to be a great, what we call a great white throne judgment, where everybody comes and God separates the sheep from the goats, the lost from the saved. The lost will go to hell with Satan and his angels, and then the saved will go to heaven. The sheep will go to heaven. But then there's the judgment of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ, where only Christians go. And at that time, it says you'll be judged whether good or bad. But it's not so that he could punish you, it's so that he can cleanse your heart. If you have not been doing the work, the perfection in your heart, if you have not been walking close to the Lord, if there are things in your heart that still need to be addressed, Scripture says that no one who fears will enter the kingdom of heaven. That scares me. So Scripture says those who are fearful, those who are ungodly, those who are drunk. And he puts fearful there with the ungodly and the drunk and these kind of things. It said they're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. There's no such thing as purgatory. Okay? So the cleansing needs to be done here. And whatever's not done here, I think that Jesus is going to. Do you remember the woman at the well? She had been married how many times? Five times. And the fellow she was staying with, living with, was not her husband. And her testimony was this. When she went back to town, she said, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did." And she was excited about it. What? Well, here's what I think. I think when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, Jesus is going to tell you everything you've ever done in a way that's going to bring healing and restoration and cleansing in your soul. Because I don't know that there's any of us, there's none of us that are perfect. But we ought to be being perfected every day, every day, every day. Blessed are those who seek God. So the third thing, and I'm closing, there will come a time, I told you in the beginning, that the ungodly stand in judgment over a lot of different people, except for themselves. But there will come a time when they no longer will do that. They will no longer stand in judgment over you, over me. And though they pride themselves to stand in judgment over others, there will come a time when they will no longer condemn Christians. There will not be one negative word that proceeds from their mouths towards God's people. And I believe the only thought that will come in their mind is, "Woe is me." It appears in Scripture that Christians will judge others. They will not be a part of that. Look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew 12, 41 and 42. The people of Nineveh, and Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, the people of Nineveh will stand up against this generation on judgment day and condemn it. Isn't that weird? Nineveh will judge those religious folk. For they repented for their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent. And then verse 42, the queen of Sheba will also stand up against generation on the judgment day and condemn it. For she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. So there are others that are going to be judging other than just Jesus Christ, other than God the Father. There's others that's going to be judging. Another passage, 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels? You? We'll judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And then Revelation 2, 26 through 29, to all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. Anyone who hears, has ears to hear, must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. You and I, godly individuals who received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, when God creates the new heaven and the new earth, we will be ruling nations if we overcome. If we overcome. There's a if there. Just getting to heaven doesn't make you a kind of overcomer. We must overcome our flesh, we must overcome the world, and we must overcome Satan. Then you're an overcomer. This message was spoken to Thyatira, the church at Thyatira, and God is saying to them and to us, we need to be overcomers so we can receive everything that God has for us in the coming age. Verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of righteousness, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So let me ask you a question in closing. How is your walk? Blessed is the man who walks not. Blessed is the man who walks this way and not that way. How is your walk? Are you on course? Do you need to adjust direction? Do you know the one who can guide you and give you the power to live a life of righteousness? I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationship. I used to be religious. I used to be a Pharisee. But God delivered me from that. Now I have freedom in Christ. What God wants is relationship. And that only comes through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And Jesus, and God says, if you turn from your sin, all of us are sinners, but if we turn from our sin, ask God to forgive us and receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we have a new life. And we can begin to experience the blessings that God has ordained for us from the beginning of time.
Yeah, that's right.
Father, I come before you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for helping us to understand this passage in Psalm chapter 1. Lord, I pray that you would feed our spirits. And Lord, that we would detest the things of the enemy, detest the things of the world, detest the things of the flesh. And Lord, feed our spirit only the things that are good and right. Because you said, if we do so, whatever we do will prosper. Whatever we do will prosper. Whatever we do will prosper. It'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth fruit in its season. Its leaf will not wither. And whatever we do will prosper. But Lord, I want us to be prosperous in you. And God, I pray for the blessings upon this church. I pray, O Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, that they will respond to you. That your spirit will begin convicting them and showing them truth, and they would be able to embrace it and follow you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.